Hello, it is Ryan, and we could all use an extra bright spot in our day, couldn't we? Just to make up for things like sitting in traffic, doing the dishes, counting your steps, you know, all the mundane stuff. That is why I'm such a big fan of Chumba Casino. Chumba Casino has all your favorite social casino style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere with daily bonuses. That should brighten your day a little. Actually, a lot. So sign up now at chumbacasino.com. That's ChumbaCasino.com. No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by
law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus. You can't fully understand the moment we're living in without knowing where we've been. On every episode of NPR's Throughline, we take a story from the news and go back in time to where it started. Where it really started. To answer one important question. How did we get here? Find NPR's Throughline on the iHeartRadio app or wherever you get your podcasts.
The Big Take from Bloomberg News brings you what's shaping the world's economies with the smartest and best-informed business reporters around the world.
We cover the stories behind what's moving money and markets and help you understand what's happening, what it means, and why it matters every afternoon. I'm Sarah Holder.
I'm Saleha Mohsen.
And I'm David Gura. Listen to The Big Take on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
From the Abraham Lincoln Radio Studio at the George Washington Broadcast Center,
Jack Armstrong and Joe Getty.
The Armstrong and Getty Show.
I just saw a joke on the internet. Charlie Hurt, columnist, retweeting a New York Post story. I don't even know what it's about. This is a crass joke. I don't think I'd ever heard this before. What's the difference between a Porsche and a porcupine? On porcupines, wow. The pricks are on the outside.
Wow. Wow, that's
where did that come
harsh
from?
Judgment against sports car owners everywhere.
Yeah, exactly.
It's a fine German automobile.
Exactly. I don't know where that joke came from or why.
And that sounds like the humor of envy to me.
The humor of envy.
I don't approve.
Okay.
So in a moment or two, excuse my suppressing coughs. I'm getting over the vid, and it's just unbelievable how long it hangs on. But thank you very much for tuning in. We're going to be talking about what Congress is up to in a moment or two. But first, let's check in with the executive branch, keeping in mind all of this is from the previous 1 week.
A poem, one today, says, "And always one moon, like a silent drum tapping at every rooftop and every window on every of every county, country." Let me start this over again.
Whoa.
I'm having trouble. "And always one moon, like a silent drum tapping on every rooftop and every window of one country, county.
Grand Staircase Escalante. You know, the Persian culture is amazing. Like Jill, the first lady, the first full-time lady, the first lady who works full-time. Jill has put some messages on my mirror where I'm shaving. And one that was put in about a year ago was, stop trying to make me love you."
Oh, that's nice. But I'm thinking she puts notes on the mirror that say, your name is Joe and you're President of the United States. Just a little reminder, love you, honey.
Yeah, yeah. Wow. Boy. If that was granddad, you'd be worried about granddad.
Oh, absolutely. And imagine if he runs maybe he won't run a traditional presidential campaign, but if he did, where you're doing, you know, six stops a day as you cross the country for like a year, speaking at, you know, a dozen gatherings. Whew. He can't do that. So they'll run a different kind of campaign.
If it's Biden versus Trump, I'm going to retire and become a wildlife photographer or a rodeo clown.
There you go. That's quite a difference in those two jobs.
Shoe repairman.
Yeah, there's a third job completely different than the other two. At least you have varied interests.
Professional origami teacher. Literally anything but talking about politics. So speaking of politics, this is impactful and pretty interesting on a number of different levels. Xiao Chu, the chief executive of TikTok, is going to testify before Congress for the first time today in an appearance, writes a pretty decent bit of coverage in the New York Times, that is expected to reflect U.S. lawmakers' escalating distrust of the short-form video app's Chinese ownership. I would point out that this distrust is vastly bipartisan, too.
Yeah, I'm
worth noting that Trump tried to get this thing banned and the courts shut him down. But now the Biden administration is back with the same goal.
Oh, yeah. I came across some great quotes the other day when Trump was trying to shut down TikTok about him being how it reeked of xenophobia and all that sort of stuff. All right, whatever. But I don't like the increasing suspicion or whatever you just said there. What that should be settled. It's a Chinese spy operation. Everybody yeah. knows it. Let's not pretend that that's still a question. It's not, is it?
There are some who claim that the obvious tool of the Chinese intelligence services hasn't been activated yet by those services, and therefore we shouldn't worry about this. That's a hilarious notion, hilariously stupid. But let's see. So the hearing, which begins 10 o'clock Eastern, 7 o'clock Pacific, before the House Energy and Commerce Committee, gives lawmakers rare opportunity to ask the boss questions directly about TikTok's relationship with its Chinese owner, although TikTok has lied repeatedly about this stuff. So Jack posited earlier in a cynical moment that I regret that these hearings are 90%, 100%? I'll let you throw the percentage on it. Grandstanding.
Yeah, I think they're almost entirely that usually.
But at any rate, so they're going to put the screws to this Chu fellow and ask him the hard questions. Let's see. Lawmakers questioned about ByteDance's links to the Chinese government and whether those could put TikTok's user data in the hands of Beijing officials. U.S. intelligence officials like the director of the FBI, Chris Wray, have also warned that the Chinese government could use TikTok's algorithm for influence operations. There is virtually nobody standing up for TikTok in this, except there are a couple like way left Democrats who, honestly, somebody needs to check if they're Chinese agents, because what they're saying is wacky. We'll get to that in a moment or two. Plus, TikTok's influencers who are getting rich off the platform, they're against the ban as well.
Jonah Goldberg tweeted out, I hope somebody asks him, the head guy from TikTok, somebody asks him if China should lift its domestic ban on TikTok, because, you know, they don't allow the TikTok that we have in their country. That'd be a good question. That'd be a good question to ask.
Yeah, yeah. Or, you know, phrase it any way you want. China severely limits what you show to kids and for how long. What do you think of that?
Are you fine with that? It's mostly an educational platform in China, and you're only able to access it certain hours and various safeguards on it.
Oh, by the by, speaking of the youngsters and time limits, this month the company announced a new 60-minute daily screen time limit for users under 18. But again, according to the New York Times, but for most young users, staying on the app just takes a few taps.
Right.
It's easy for the kids to get around it. Effortless. So how do you take it when a company that maybe will be in the employ of Chinese intelligence says, hey, I know you're concerned about the kids spending 8 hours a day on this app. We've now limited it to 60 minutes. And the kids immediately say, yeah, we can get around this in 5 seconds.
Yeah.
How do you take that? What does that make you think of that company?
Right.
Do you think they didn't know it? The most brilliant users of algorithms on earth were unaware that kids could, you know, close the app and open it again? Are you kidding me?
Yeah, no, they want the kids to be able to get around it. China, the Communist Party, says it would firmly oppose any forced TikTok sale. So they're going to claim belligerence on our part if we try to boot out TikTok. I hope the various Congress people questioning this dude have done their homework and are really going to drill down on their claims that, no, we're separate from the Communist Party. They don't have anything to do with our operation, because that's a lie. And I hope the various Congress people are up to speed on that.
Yeah, agreed. So you got this Jamal Bowman of New York, who's kind of a backbench way lefty. And he was the guy you may have seen in front of Capitol Hill. Black fella, bald head, with a big sign that says, "Keep TikTok." And he's given a speech on Capitol Hill, surrounded by TikTok influencers and like two other congresspeople. But he says, "Why the hell are we whipping ourselves into a hysteria to scapegoat TikTok?" he asked in a telephone interview with the New York Times. Hours later, he held a news conference outside the house touting the platform's virtues alongside dozens of influencers brought in by TikTok for a day of lobbying. Only two other Democrats attended, while some of the congressman's most outspoken allies declined to weigh in, like AOC and the other squad members. It's not hard to see why Mr. Biden and prominent congressional leaders have locked arms around the idea that the platform, owned by Chinese company ByteDance, poses a national security threat at a time of growing competition with China. This Bowman guy, who ought to be investigated, he also voted against the formation of that new committee on Chinese-American competition. There's no need for that. China's not our enemy.
That guy's got to be getting deposits straight into his bank account from the Communist Party, doesn't he?
What, maybe what the same guy who was distributing the money to Hunter Biden and his relatives.
Any all on TikTok can explain how great it is? I'd like to hear from somebody over the age of 25, certainly. Because I've considered getting the app before it gets booted out of the country just to marvel at the algorithm and its ability to figure out the stuff I'm interested in, predict the stuff I'm interested in, and feed me entertainment all day long. YouTube's pretty good at it. I open up YouTube because of my search history, and it's pretty good at hitting me with a... these five things look interesting, don't they? I mean, it's really hard to resist every day. And yeah. TikTok's supposed to be way better than YouTube at that.
One final note on this America-hating probable Chinese agent. Josh Gottheimer, who's a moderate New Jersey Democrat who's in favor of banning the app or forcing its sale to an American company, says anyone defending TikTok is either too caught up in being a social media celebrity or they've been brainwashed by the Chinese government's propaganda. Both put our national security at risk.
Is TikTok a national security risk? Latest poll I just saw up on the TV, 56% of Americans believe TikTok is a national security risk. So news has gotten to a majority of Americans, which is one of the reasons you're going to see grandstanding from both sides of the aisle, because they're aware of those poll numbers, too.
Final note on this Bowman character, Jack. A recent selection shows the congressman of his TikTokeries, his posts. What do you call them? I don't know. It's TikTok. Show the congressman ranking legendary hip-hop songs in his Washington office. Time well spent. He put "Nothing But a G Thing" by Dr. Dre as the number one hip-hop song of all time.
Pretty good song.
Okay.
I might be up in my, it'd be my top five.
You might as well ask me to rank women's shoes brands. I've heard of a number of them, but I know nothing about it.
Go with Jimmy Choo. The Fed raised interest rates a little bit yesterday. Prior to that, interest rates for homes hit a four-month low. We could fill you in on that real quick, among other things. We got some Ukraine stuff for you.
Is yet another Murdoch a murderer? Update you on that this hour.
Sure looks like it. Or is Netflix just pushing it that way with their documentary? I don't know. All that on the way. Stay with us.
Armstrong and Getty.
Judy was boring.
Hello.
Then Judy discovered Chumbacasino.com.
It's my little escape.
Now Judy's the life of the party.
Oh, baby, mama's bringing home the bacon.
Whoa, take it easy, Judy. The Chumba life is for everybody. So go to Chumbacasino.com and play over 100 casino-style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Chumbacasino.com. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
I'm Hannah Storm, and my podcast, NBA DNA with Hannah Storm, digs deep into the history of professional basketball, along with my own as one of the first female sportscasters.
Now let's get you up to speed on what else happened around the NBA today.
We talked to all sorts of people I interacted with, from Dr. J to Charles Barkley, and recap iconic moments.
Yes, he's got it. Here he comes. Ray rocked the baby to sleep and slam dunk.
As well as some of the wild stories behind the scenes.
We were like, what? What are we in for? The scoreboard crashes before we even tip a game off.
Today, the NBA is a global sports and entertainment giant,
players are multimillionaires and cultural icons.
Iguodala to Curry, back to Iguodala, up for the layup. Oh, blocked by James! LeBron James!
And these stories are about how we got here, both on and off the court. And what's next? Listen to NBA DNA with Hannah Storr on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
The Armstrong and Getty Show.
One time when we were in Colorado, there was an outcrossing sign, so we slowed down to the recommended speed. And then somebody from Colorado went around us, rolled their window down, stuck their arm all the way out, and gave us a thumbs down. And I think about that interaction every single day. Flipping people off when you're driving is dead. Give them a thumbs down. They will not forget you.
So
flipping people off is dead. Give them a thumbs down.
So that's suggesting that's probably a TikTok video, right? That for young people, thumbs down is the equivalent of flipping you off.
And it seemed, although, no, she seemed to be saying, no, it's a better alternative.
And well, okay, better alternative in what way? In terms of doing damage, like showing how much you are unhappy with someone?
No.
Is that what you took
that's
it?
That's not the way I took it. I took it to be the opposite. Well, if she said, give them some thumbs down, they'll remember it. You're expressing disapproval in a gentlemanly way.
I think they're right.
I do, too. I mean, F you is like, let's fight. I find what you're doing less than satisfactory. I like that.
See, I'm being misled by our headline here, Michael. I don't know if you wrote the headline. Gen Z says thumbs down worse than middle fingers. So I thought maybe they had, like, the way they change emojis. Remember the, what emoji is it that we're all taking completely opposite the way.
Thumbs up is ironic and bitter and actually means you're terrible. I hate you.
Right. Thumbs up is mean.
Well, play it again. It's 13 seconds long.
One time when we were in Colorado, there was an outcrossing sign, so we slowed down to the recommended speed. And then somebody from Colorado went around us, rolled their window down, stuck their arm all the way out, and gave us a thumbs down. And I think about that interaction every single day. Flipping people off when you're driving is dead. Give them a thumbs down. They will not forget you.
I think you're right. I was misled by the misleading headline.
Propaganda.
That does make sense, though. That would do me more damage. You flip me off, and I think, okay, you're one of those people. You're so angry with your life, blah, blah, right. Blah. You give me the thumbs down. That's like a grown-up. You did something wrong, and I don't approve of that.
It's like saying I'm disappointed in you.
Yeah, that's pretty good.
Right. It's an expression of civilized disapproval. You know, if somebody flies off the handle and screeches at you, it's easy to think, wow, there's an angry, crazy person.
Right.
But if they say, excuse me, I'm terribly sorry to bother you, but I wanted to point out, I mean, you've got to, you know, you got to take that at least a little seriously.
Right.
The thumbs down, folks. I like it. And it's more civilized. I'm for more civilization, not less.
So the Fed,
for instance, I've now insisted my dog wear pants. I've thought about it for a long time. There's no reason if I can't show mine that he can.
That reminds me, you know what the worst thing about a pug is, or dogs like it? They can't wear a freaking collar, and it's so damned annoying. It's a non-stop annoying thing to deal with a dog that can't have a collar on.
Why? Because its neck is as thick as its head?
They got no neck, yeah. So it would just, in fact, their head's smaller than their neck. So any collar that would fit their neck is bigger than their head and just come right off.
A dog that's shaped like a drill bit.
And you can't use a usual leash and even like harnesses they slip out of because their head is smaller. It's annoying. It's constantly annoying. Anyway, that's a dumb aside. So the Fed yesterday decided to raise interest rates a quarter point. Fed walking tightrope between inflation and bank turmoil. And they are trying to walk a tightrope while they try to bring down inflation, which is still at 6%. I feel like the media, run by young people who don't know any better, is missing out on the fact that inflation is still 6%. Every dang month you're taking a pay cut, 6%. And it's next month it's another 6%. Do you see how it works? You understand how this is working? It continues to grow. It's very annoying. But anyway, U.S.
That's an annual percentage rate, though.
Sure.
Isn't it?
Yeah. But it's, okay. Exactly. But
continues to be 6%.
It continues to be 6%, yes. Right. U.S. mortgage rates tumbled by the most they have in 4 months prior to yesterday. So I don't know what that's going to do to things.
Free up the housing market a little bit.
Well, but they raised the interest rates yesterday, so I don't know how long this is going to last.
No,
the interest rates being at the lowest in 4 months, but it was 6.48% for an average 30-year fixed mortgage. 6.48%, which previous to like 5 years ago would have been broken laws to get your bank in time to get signed up for that interest rate.
Right.
But, now it seems like a horror to have to pay 6.5%. The TikTok hearings have already begun. The guy who runs TikTok has already made a statement. We'll play that for you and discuss that a little bit.
And I was kind of skeptical as to whether that surviving Murdoch kid might be involved in a homicide from back in the day. But what's being said by the authorities and who's saying it have really intrigued me. We'll have that for you.
How many murders did that family get away with over the decades? Holy
cow.
No
kidding.
Right? If you miss an hour, get the podcast, Armstrong and Getty On Demand.
Armstrong and Getty.
I'm Hannah Storm, and my podcast, NBA DNA with Hannah Storm, digs deep into the history of professional basketball, along with my own as one of the first female sportscasters.
Now let's get you up to speed on what else happened around the NBA today.
We talked to all sorts of people I interacted with, from Dr. J to Charles Barkley, and recap iconic moments.
Yes, he's got it. Here he comes. Ray rock the baby to sleep and slam dunk.
As well as some of the wild stories behind the scenes.
We were like, what? What are we in for? The scoreboard crashes before we even tip a game off.
Today, the NBA is a global sports and entertainment giant. Players are multimillionaires and cultural icons.
Iguodala to Curry, back to Iguodala, up for the layup. Oh, blocked by James! LeBron James!
And these stories are about how we got here, both on and off the court. And what's next? Listen to NBA DNA with Hannah Storm on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Imagine you ask two people the same exact set of seven questions. I'm Minnie Driver. And this was the idea I set out to explore in my podcast, Mini Questions. This year, we bring a whole new group of guests to answer the same seven questions, including actress and star of the mega hit sitcom Friends, Courteney Cox.
You can't go around it, so you just go through it. This is a roadblock. It's going to catch you down the road. Go through it. Deal with it.
Comedian, writer, and star of the series Catastrophe, Rob Delaney.
I shouldn't feel guilty about my son's death. He died of a brain tumor. It's part of what happens when your kid dies. Intellectually, you'll understand that it's not your fault, but you'll still feel guilty.
Alt-rock icon, Liz Phair.
That personal disaster wrote Guyville. So everything comes out of a dead end.
And many, many more. Join me on season 3 of Mini Questions on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your favorite podcasts. Seven questions, limitless answers.
Strong and Getty Show.
Some politicians have started talking about banning TikTok. Now, this could take TikTok away from all 150 million of you. Let me know in the comments what you want your elected representatives to know about what you love about TikTok.
So that's the dude that's being questioned today, posting on his TikTok account. What do you think?
Yeah. Please, all 150 Americans who love TikTok, tell your representatives how much you love it. He's lobbying.
So there is a hearing going on right now. I said it's going to be a dog and pony show. One texter pointed out if it's the Chinese guy, it'll be a raccoon dog and pony show. But you're probably right about that.
It's a good point. Yep.
And I think Republicans and Democrats are going to love beating up on the TikTok dude. We're going to hear more from him in just a second. But already, and it's been going on for a half an hour, this came out from the Ministry of Commerce spokesman for China, who said forcing a sale of TikTok would, quote, seriously damage the confidence of investors from all over the world, including China, to invest in the United States.
Shut up.
So the almost biggest economy in the world threatening we won't invest in the United States anymore if you ban TikTok. Eh, well. Get over it.
So if we come up with really nice, profitable companies that are also you know, branches of our intelligence department, our intelligence apparatus, that you can't ban them. Yeah, I think we will.
We got quite a few texts from those of you who do or have used TikTok. Pretty interesting all over the map. Let's hear more from this guy, though, that is speaking for TikTok in the hearing. Clip 81 there, Michael.
Let me start by addressing a few misconceptions about ByteDance, of which we are a subsidiary. ByteDance is not owned or controlled by the Chinese government.
Yes, they are.
It's a private company. Now, TikTok itself is not available in mainland China. We're headquartered in Los Angeles and in Singapore. We have heard important concerns about the potential for unwanted foreign access to U.S. data and potential manipulation of the TikTok U.S. ecosystem. Our approach has never been to dismiss or trivialize any of these concerns. We have addressed them with real action. Now, that's what we've been doing for the last 2 years, building what amounts to a firewall that seals off protected U.S. user data from unauthorized foreign access. The bottom line is this: American data stored on American soil by an American company overseen by American personnel. We call this initiative Project Texas. That's where Oracle is headquartered.
I hope the Congress people have done their homework enough to be able to drill down on those statements.
Yeah, yeah, they have staffers who are well steeped in this. I've gotten the idea that it's not a bunch of old people making wild guesses. This is, again, very bipartisan inquiries into this stuff.
I just want to hear this one before we get to some of the texts.
Now, trust is about actions we take. We have to earn that trust with decisions we make for our company and our products. The potential security, privacy, content manipulation concerns raised about TikTok are really not unique to us. The same issues apply to other companies. We believe what's needed are clear, transparent rules that apply broadly to all tech companies. Ownership is not at the core of addressing these concerns.
You know, I don't like that this has happened, but I get immediately like in my defensive posture when some representative from the Chinese government or a Chinese company speaks. And those Gallup numbers that came out recently with 15% of Americans having a positive view of China make me think that I'm not alone on that.
Well, they ran a 4-decade-long deception where they claimed to be benign trading partners in an up-and-coming country that was so grateful for our assistance while plotting to destroy the United States as quickly as possible. So, yeah, yeah. Any new entreaties from them are going to be greeted with a lot of suspicion and should be.
So I was talking about, I feel like I missed, I think TikTok's going to get banned, and I missed out on what an amazing thing TikTok is because I didn't want to have it on my phone. We got a bunch of texts from people who use it. I deleted TikTok after 1 month. I commented on some girl's suggestively sexual video saying she was too young, and a whole bunch of people started attacking me, found out where I worked, attacked my business, attacked my social media accounts, and was attacking my email and my personal accounts.
Wow. Wow.
So don't get on the wrong side of the TikTok crowd. I used to have TikTok but had to delete it because it was so addicting. That's how good their algorithm is. We had several of those.
Yeah, my 23-year-old daughter said, I got to get this off my phone. This is not healthy.
I'm 52, and I see the negative, but it has been an amazing resource. I've heard this from people, too. The algorithm has connected me to so many other teachers to share ideas, amazing recipes, great money-saving home decor ideas. That's clearly my algorithm, but I would really miss it if it's gone. Yeah, I have a feeling that I would get a whole bunch of, like, guitar lessons and history videos and stuff like that I would really, really enjoy. Another person said it's like heroin, endlessly streaming interesting short entertainment. Also, do not put TikTok on any of your devices just to experiment with the app. There are reports that say deleting the app is not enough to get it off your device.
Wow. I have no doubt.
Yeah.
Well, and it's, you know, while the teacher weighed in, that's a great input, and thank you. It's that short, super entertaining, one after the other, after the other, after the other nature of the thing that makes it so insidious. Never mind, you know, the Chinese intelligence services angle of it, just in terms of how you want to occupy your brain. Because I know I'm susceptible to that sort of thing. I went on a Twitter thing the other day, rabbit hole. It's so silly, I won't even describe it. But at one point,
that is usually the case with these rabbit holes. You wouldn't want to say out loud what you spent 30 minutes doing before bedtime last night on Twitter or TikTok or YouTube or whatever, because it's hard to explain to yourself sometimes.
Yeah. I mean, it wasn't completely ridiculous, but I thought, how long? I actually looked at my watch because I realized when I sat down, I said, you've been spending 15 minutes doing this now. It's amusing, but are you getting anything out of this?
That's the thing. It's amusing. It's been pleasurable. But yeah, is it added to my life in any way other than killing time in a pleasurable way? And man, right. I don't know about you, but I don't need to kill more time in a pleasurable way.
Oh, no. Actually, it might be useful to describe what it was. It was really interesting sea creatures, particularly those that exist at enormous depth. One after the other of scary-looking, weird sea creatures.
Perfect example, though, of the sort of thing that you can get on. Like, I have no idea how I ended up on this the other day, but it was the most amazing pro bowling spare pickups. And it just ended to be one after another. It was just like, oh, my God, how do you possibly do? You know, and I probably spent 15 minutes on that I didn't need to do.
Wow.
And I have no idea how I got connected to that. God, now
at least mine was arguably science.
Now I'm probably going to get freaking bowling stuff in all my media for the rest of my life.
I was just going to say, just for the next 10 years or so.
Yeah, ads for bowling shoes. Those little wrist things.
So nice, to get
nice
back to the TikTok
there, Michael.
Thing, yeah, way to be on the ball, Michael. getting back to the TikTok thing, I think it's conceivable they will come up with a firewall that is acceptable enough that it's not banned. I think it's possible TikTok will continue to exist. But boy, howdy, those firewalls better be thorough, because there are multiple instances, I don't have them at my fingertips, but where TikTok has made claims and vows and then violated them. So if any of it is even physically possible to violate, it's not acceptable, because there is absolutely zero assumption of good faith.
Don't trust China.
Well, that's, you know what? Thank you, sir. That's a pithy way to put it. Don't trust China. Don't trust ByteDance.
Well, and remember, we had the story the other day that TikTok had surpassed Google and Apple and all the other big tech companies in terms of lobbying money that they're throwing around in recent weeks. So right. A lot of these people asking the questions today have had giant contributions to their campaigns. How that will affect them, I don't know.
Well, speaking of ongoing stories, we've all been paying attention. Is the surviving Murdoch kid a serious suspect for a mysterious death several years ago? I was taking it all with a grain of salt, but this latest report has me wondering.
Well, they're actually exhuming the body of the dead classmate, so they're taking it fairly seriously.
Yeah, that's part of it.
Runs in the family. And we got that story and others on the way. And more of you, your TikTok experiences. Text line 415-295-KFTC.
Armstrong and Getty.
I'm Hannah Storm, and my podcast, NBA DNA with Hannah Storm, digs deep into the history of professional basketball, along with my own as one of the first female sportscasters.
Now let's get you up to speed on what else happened around the NBA today.
We talked to all sorts of people I interacted with, from Dr. J to Charles Barkley, and recap iconic moments.
Yes, he's got it. Here he comes. Ray rock the baby to sleep and slam dunk.
As well as some of the wild stories behind the scenes.
We were like, what? What are we in for? The scoreboard crashes before we even tip a game off.
Today, the NBA is a global sports and entertainment giant. Players are multimillionaires and cultural icons.
Iguodala to Curry, back to Iguodala, up for the layup. Oh, blocked by James! LeBron James!
And these stories are about how we got here, both on and off the court. And what's next? Listen to NBA DNA with Hannah Storr on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Imagine you ask two people the same exact set of seven questions. I'm Minnie Driver. And this was the idea I set out to explore in my podcast, Mini Questions. This year, we bring a whole new group of guests to answer the same 7 questions, including actress and star of the mega hit sitcom Friends, Courteney Cox.
You can't go around it, so you just go through it. This is a roadblock. It's going to catch you down the road. Go through it. Deal with it.
Comedian, writer, and star of the series Catastrophe, Rob Delaney.
I shouldn't feel guilty about my son's death. He died of a brain tumor. It's part of what happens when your kid dies. Intellectually, you'll understand that it's not your fault, but you'll still feel guilty.
Alt-rock icon, Liz Phair.
That personal disaster wrote Guyville. So everything comes out of a dead end.
And many, many more. Join me on season 3 of Mini Questions on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your favorite podcasts. 7 questions, limitless answers.
The Armstrong and Getty Show.
Save the baseball conversation for our One More Thing podcast that we record after the show every day. There's a couple interesting things on that.
It's like a secret treasure trove of content that's never aired.
Right.
Sometimes there are swears.
And the very interesting senator from Arizona, Kirsten Sinema.
Jack's a conscientious objector. If you have one of those names, he'll call you whichever one he wants.
Yeah,
and you can't object.
You chose this path in life by being named Kirsten and call or Kirsten or Kristen. But anyway, she's courting Republicans and a bunch of fundraisers and raising tons of money and making jokes about the old Dems like Chuck Schumer eating Jell-O and stuff like that. It's
got
kind of interesting story out of. I think it's Politico. Yeah, Politico. So maybe we'll get to that later.
So have you followed the Murdoch murder trial like we did? We were talking about the red-haired scion of the legal family there in South Carolina who was accused of and convicted of killing his wife and his son. There are several unexplained deaths or poorly explained deaths around that family through the years. And obviously, in the wake of recent events, some of those are getting more attention, including the death of this young man named Stephen Smith in July of 2015. He was found dead next to a country road about 15 miles or so from the Murdoch family's gigantic hunting estate where Papa committed those murders that we're discussing. You know, 15 miles isn't right next door, but it was in the same chunk of the county. So anyway, back in 2015, the pathologist determined that this young man died from a hit and run just miles from the Murdoch's hunting estate. Smith was rumored to be the lover of Alex Murdoch's son, Buster. Now, that's easy to say now. I don't know how widely spread the rumor was, what it was based on, who was saying it or whatever. There's little detail.
You have or haven't watched the documentary.
I have not. The Netflix documentary?
Yeah, that got this whole thing like really going hot before the old man's trial even took off.
Mm-hmm.
And they'd been talking about this a lot. And they have a lot of interviews with high school the kids that were high school students with the both of them saying, oh, yeah, everybody was talking about it.
Wow, okay. All right. Thanks for filling in that blank. So anyway, the South Carolina Law Enforcement Division opened a SLED, is the acronym in South Carolina for some reason, opened a homicide investigation into Smith's death last June, about 2 weeks after Alex Murdoch fatally shot his wife and his son. SLED agents received information about his death and subsequently reviewed the Highway Patrol investigative file. It was apparent that the Highway Patrol did not believe Mr. Smith's death was a hit and run by a motor vehicle. So interesting. The pathologist said, yeah, hit and run. The South Carolina Highway Patrol said it doesn't look like one to us.
So if you're trying to picture a hit and run, I was picturing like, you know, the bumper of a car running you over. But they were portraying it as the mirror, you know, the mirrors stick out wide on on my big truck or SUV, hit the guy walking alongside the road in the back of the head and mm-hmm. killed him. That's the way it was portrayed.
Yeah, yeah. Well, and they cite a certain lack of evidence of him, like, skidding or tumbling or anything like
right.
that. But it gets more and more interesting. The probe was never closed, remains a homicide investigation. Progress has been made, and SLED's investigation is active and ongoing. The chief has assigned additional agents to the case in hopes that, quote, those who may know what happened to Mr. Smith are more willing to speak freely now than they may have been in 2015 or 2021.
Wow.
You know what that means. They didn't want to say a damn thing and go up against the most powerful family in the that section of the state.
Right. They could even,
and not just powerful, but powerful in law enforcement and the law.
Yeah. That's pretty damned interesting.
Yeah, so that is revealing.
This kid, who may or may not have murdered a gay classmate he was having a fling with and didn't want the world to know he was at least gay or bi, is not the kid involved in the mysterious boating death. That's the dead brother, right?
Correct. Yeah, yeah. The younger brother.
And then the maid that fell down the stairs and died. Nobody knows what happened there, but
and then the old man stole the insurance money or the settlement or whatever from
I don't know
the
about
victims' kids. It's just unbelievable.
I don't know about you, but there are way more people dying in sketchy circumstances than seem to be in like me or my extended family.
Well, in this one, if there's anything to it, and you know, I don't want to rush to judgment or accuse a guy of a heinous crime. Well, Jack, you'll take the lead on this then. But the idea of yeah, he committed an act of violence to cover up a truth he found inconvenient. That seems to be like the family hobby.
Yeah, no kidding.
Attorneys, a couple of attorneys, you won't remember their names, so I won't bother, announced what they described as an extraordinary phone call in which the head investigator told them, excuse me, the aftermath of my COVID, in which the investigator told them, the death of Stephen Smith is now considered a homicide. The release called it a shocking disclosure after 8 years of being proclaimed a highway vehicular manslaughter.
Wow, and the kid's mom never thought it was that.
Right, and indeed it was the kid's mom that raised the money for the exhumation and the new autopsy of the body because she's never been she's been utterly convinced that justice has not been done. A former state trooper who led the preliminary investigation into death previously has told Fox News there was no evidence pointing to a hit and run. It looked like more like it was staged. No tire marks on the road, no abrasions that indicated that he'd tumbled or anything like that. In a 2016 letter to the FBI begging for help, Sandy Smith, the mother, wrote that she suspected her son was having an affair with Buster. A man who claimed to have witnessed the killing allegedly told her family that Buster had beaten her son with a baseball bat. Where's that dude now?
Yeah,
what's the story there? Hey, hang on a second.
You had a witness to a murder, a bludgeoning? Where the hell's that person? That almost makes this sound sketchy. Like the reporting sounds sketchy.
Although, call me Captain Imagination, Jack. Here's what I'm imagining. This witness, some ne'er-do-well, couple of convictions maybe, who knows, saw the crime and was looking at testifying against the Murdochs.
Right.
His life would be over, maybe literally.
He gets a phone call from somebody that said, look, you go forward with this. This is what's going to happen. We know you did this and that, and you were with this guy and whatever. You violated parole, so you're going to be spending the next 10 years in jail.
Yeah.
Or you can keep your mouth shut.
And he said, I didn't see anything.
Right.
You could picture that so easily.
I don't know about the nickname. What was it, Mr.
Captain Imagination?
Because what was the one yesterday? We had a nickname yesterday. Remember? You weren't you weren't really happy about it.
Pork chop.
Pork chop.
Well, yeah, I was admiring T-Bone Burnett's nickname, and I was thinking maybe there was another cut of meat. Ribeye, you know, porterhouse, something. And Michael throws out pork chop.
We were wondering if
which was not appreciated.
If pork chop will catch on as a nickname for you. I will say, whether this kid is guilty or not, I like this whole crowdsourcing investigations thing that has nailed a bunch of people, whether it's serial podcasts or documentaries on Netflix or wherever, that sort of thing. That's like become a thing.
Yeah, casts a much wider net for information, which can be a problem for investigators,
sure,
too. They get a lot of garbage.
Yeah.
But sometimes it results in justice being done often after a long damn time, but better late than never.
A lot going on. The TikTok hearing is going on. Oh, Kyrsten Sinema raising money. Is she going to flip and become a Republican? Which would be a huge deal, as tight as the Senate is. Bunch of stuff on the way.
Including the Stanford Law School dean and the repercussions of that terrible scene in which a federal court judge was heckled out of the classroom by Stanford little monsters. Stay tuned for that as well. Good stuff next hour.
Armstrong and Getty.
Diamonds Direct Spring Sale starts this weekend. Get 20% off rings, earrings, pendants, bracelets, and more. It's the best store-wide sale of the season. Plus, book an appointment and get an additional $100 off. That's 20% off plus $100 off store-wide. And enjoy an expanded selection of the latest styles with designer appearances each weekend. Tons of engagement rings on sale, too. 20% off starts Friday and opens Sundays. Details at DiamondsDirect.com.
You can't fully understand the moment we're living in without knowing where we've been. On every episode of NPR's Throughline, we take a story from the news and go back in time to where it started, where it really started. To answer one important question, how did we get here? Find NPR's Throughline on the iHeartRadio app or wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm Saleha Mohsen, and I've covered economic policy for years and reported on how it impacts people across the United States. In 2016, I saw how voters were leaning towards Trump and how so many Americans felt misunderstood by Washington. So I started The Big Take DC. We dig into how money, politics, and power shape government and the consequences for voters. With new episodes every Thursday, you can listen to The Big Take DC on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.